Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood.
And I'm Jeff Young. At the G20 Economic Summit in Pittsburgh, President Obama challenged other world leaders to take a fresh look at the support their governments give to fossil fuels.
I will work with my colleagues at the G20 to phase out fossil fuel subsidies so that we can better address our climate challenge.
Recent reports from the International Energy Agency and other institutions point out the scale of those largely hidden subsidies and how they contribute to global warming. It's an area Steve Kretzmann's studied for decades at the Institute for Policy Studies and now with the advocacy group Oil Change International. So I asked Mr. Kretzmann what exactly these subsidies are.
This is basically money that's given by governments to either subsidize the cost of production, thus lowering the cost of production for producers like oil and coal, or subsidize the cost of consumption, thus lowering the cost of consumption for consumers around the world, i.e. keeping the price of gas artificially low.
So give us a sense of the scale. How much money are we talking about?
On an annual basis, globally, there are at least $250 billion in global fossil fuel subsidies, and some people think that number is closer to $400 billion.
And these are mostly what, in the form of tax breaks or direct payments or what?
Most of the subsidies are on the consumption side, keeping the price of gas low and the price of energy affordable for people in developing nations. But there's also some very substantial subsidies on the production side, predominantly in the United States and Europe. In the U.S., there's a great study that came out last week that shows that we give at least $70 billion on an annual basis to the fossil fuel industry.
And how does that level of subsidization compare to what we give to, say, renewable energies, wind, solar, things like that?
We still subsidize fossil fuels at a much higher rate than we do true renewables. You know, solar, wind, efficiency, these things get about $12 billion on an annual basis as compared, again, to $70 for fossil fuels. So that's a really imbalanced energy market. A few years back, there was a study of climate change in particular, and it was noted by Nicholas Stern, who is the World Bank's chief economist, that climate change is the greatest market failure of all time, and that the subsidies, the fossil fuel subsidies, are the major reason for this market distortion.
Well, the president's proposal got a pretty immediate response from some oil-producing states. Here's what Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican from Alaska, had to say.
I think it is important to determine what is a subsidy and what is a tax incentive. Raising taxes on the fuels that we currently depend on would likely result in higher consumer prices and would only impact our ability to produce those fuels domestically instead of importing them.
What do you make of that statement from Senator Murkowski?
First of all, I'm not really sure why the industry would need additional incentive. This is one of the most profitable industries on the planet, and why they need to use tax dollars to additionally incentivize them doesn't really make any sense. And it's time to start using our public money to encourage the energy of the future, not the energy of the past.
But it seems to me she does hit on a couple of key concerns here that are valid. There's the very real likelihood that this would result in increased prices for consumers.
I think access to energy and access to the services that energy provides, transport, light, heat, etc., is very important, and it's something that we want to absolutely guarantee and help to facilitate for all people. How that energy gets generated is not really something that most people are attached to. Most people don't really care that they're, you know, lighting their or heating their homes with a coal-fired power plant as opposed to a centralized solar power plant.
They don't care where it comes from, but they care how much it costs. And if you yank these subsidies out from under them, it's going to cost more, isn't it?
Well, it depends. If you affect a transition time and at the same point you're subsidizing the cleaner energy production, maybe you end up actually with cheaper energy on the other end. I think everyone recognizes that it's in no one's interest to jack up the price and make, you know, energy or transport unaffordable to Americans or anyone else in the rest of the world. What we want to do is make sure this energy is actually produced in a clean way that is sustainable.
And what about the notion that we would just encourage more import rather than domestic production of oil?
The oil industry has every incentive to find more oil domestically because it's much cheaper to transport it if you produce it domestically and bring it to market in the United States, which is the largest oil market in the world. That's going to give them much higher profit margins, and that's all the incentive they need.
Give me a sense of why this matters for climate change. What kind of greenhouse gas emissions are really buried in these subsidies and these tax breaks?
The greenhouse gas implications of this proposal to remove subsidies are actually quite profound. There was a study from OECD earlier this year which showed that for the $300 billion in subsidies that were identified in that study, if they were taken away, you would get a 10 to 12% reduction globally in greenhouse gases.
Steve Kretzmann is with the group Oil Change International. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much for having me.